Well, welcome everyone. Thank you so much for coming to my talk. So today we'll be talking about the Apache Yonomi project that's still incubating, but hopefully not for long. We're about to start the graduation process, I hope. So I'll start quickly with an intro about me. So I'm the co-founder and CTO of Jaya. I'm an Apache committer for a little while now. I started on the JackRabbit project, and now, of course, I'm on Yonomi. I'm also the co-chair of a specification called the context server specification. I'll talk a little bit more about it at Oasis. I have quite a lot of experience with web development. I've been coding since I was 7, and I still love it. And I'm very interested in user experiences in general, because you can learn a lot about what people actually want that way. So before I go to the next slide, I'd like to have a quick show of hands. Who here knows what a customer data platform is? Okay. Thank you. So I'm just going to show you here the Wikipedia description. So a customer data platform is a marketer-based management system. It creates a persistent unified customer database that is accessible to other systems. Data is pulled from multiple sources, cleaned and combined to create a single customer profile. This structured data is then made available to other marketing systems. And customer data platforms provide real-time segmentation for personalized marketing. So a customer data platform is currently a $300 million industry and is projected to reach $1 billion in 2019. So although the fact that this term has been coined very recently, it's already something quite important. Now, if you just bear with me for a second, I just realized I forgot to start my recording on my screen, so I'm just going to do that now. All right, sorry about that. Okay, so the big question is, why would you need one of these platforms? So the most obvious one is to learn more about your visitors on whichever system you have. The second one is to deliver personalized experiences on your website or a mobile application. It doesn't have to be just websites. The most important now is to make sure you comply with the stricter regulations that are in place, such as the GDPR, or new upcoming ones, because the GDPR has inspired a lot of different countries, such as the United States. The next point is one of the most important ones, is to be in control of your analytics and personalization, because right now what's happening in the marketing space is a lot of people are basically giving away their data to Google Analytics or Google 360, to Adobe, all these different platforms. Basically, all of this visitor data that they're bringing in is being sent to these clouds. And in the case of Google, at least, you almost lose all control over the data, which you've originated. I mean, it's. And the last, of course, is to avoid reinventing the wheel by building your own solution or related hooks to existing systems. So what is Apache Yonomi? So Yonomi is an open source customer data platform. There's not that many out there. From what I saw, there's maybe two, Yonomi and I think it's PeeWeeX. I haven't identified any other open source ones, but maybe you know of some. If you do, I'd love to hear about them. It's a Java platform, whereas PeeWeeX is a PHP platform that is completely modular and built on a highly scalable architecture. It's also the reference implementation of a standard called the Oasis Context Server Specification. So we call it CXS in this presentation. And it's basically event-based and uses Elasticsearch as a scalable backend for persistence and querying. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to just, you know, whenever you want. So what is CXS? So it's a standard. And actually, I have an announcement to make today. We've just had the clearance by Oasis to change the name. So we're going to change the name to Customer Data Platform Standard. So that way we're in alignment with the implementation. So it's been established at the OASIS Foundation. It defines a standard to define personalized user experiences and allows for interoperability and customer data exchanges. And basically, it's composed of two parts, a public API and an internal API. The public API specifies all the stuff that's related to data collection and decisioning, and real-time decisioning also. The internal API is for management of the data, analytics, configuration, and reporting. So you know me, it of course, implements both those APIs. So why was the project started at Apache? Well, because basically at the time, there was no open source implementation. Even PeeWeeks was not doing that. Of course, Apache is really well recognized for providing platform solution. Apache is also truly independent because a lot of people were telling me, why don't you just start a project at GitHub, you know? Well, GitHub got purchased by Microsoft. I'm not judging what happened, but I'm just saying it's not independent. And Apache, of course, is real highly recognized and provides solid infrastructure. And the biggest thing, the most important thing is the community. Because, I mean, even if this project was started, originated from a single company, as the community grows, it just becomes better. And, I mean, I don't have to tell you that. You know that. Apache is all about this. So let's look at what Yunomi is capable of doing. So it provides user tracking, event tracking, goal tracking and scoring, segmentation, form input tracking, download tracking, impersonification, such as what also called personas, A/B testing, profile management and export, reporting, and not the least, privacy management. So let's talk about privacy quickly. For those of you that came from Europe, you know about the GDPR, and probably most of you have heard about it. It's a directive that imposes very strict conditions on dealing with customer data, which is a good thing. The fines are very expensive. It's up to 4% of an annual company turnover or 20 million euros, whichever is higher. So it can be, I mean, that's why all the big companies are investing so much money into being compliant with it. They are very scared. Consent for data usage is now explicitly required, and there's a huge mess out there. I mean, I probably don't even need a show of hands, because I think everybody here has seen the mess of pop-ups that we have now, and almost half of them are not working properly, especially if you do not want to click I consent or I accept. If you try to go through one of the other paths, it just falls down really fast, falls apart. And of course, users must be able to download their profiles or delete them. So that's one of the requirements of the GDPR. So you know me, although it's not perfect, but it provides a solution for all of that. So basically, there's profile properties management. So you can define personal identifier properties inside the profiles that you have. You can say that you want to anonymize a profile. So that means you can erase any personal identifiers that are in the profile. It has built-in consent management. So that means you can get consent from your users. It'll be stored in the profile, but you can also have users update their consent, which is also quite rare right now and is a requirement of the GDPR. You can have a private browsing mode, so that's equivalent to your browser's private browsing, but on the server. And you can also, of course, download your profile. This is an example of a consent management UI that can be built on top of Yunomi. So this is actually outside of the Yunomi scope. So here, basically, it's just a UI for building consents that will be identified by a key. Okay, so we're just here building, for example, a newsletter consent saying that we want to agree to receiving a newsletter. And then inside of Yunomi, there's a consent API that just uses events that makes it really easy to build like these pop-ups and where you say, okay, do I agree to this consent or not? You can very easily integrate that to the events that Yunomi provides. And of course, since you have the API to do reporting, you can then extract information about the consents and, for example, see for a specific consent, this is the personalization consent, how many people have agreed, how many people have been denied, and more importantly, how many people have not answered. Because it's also possible, a lot of these pop-ups, they say, they force you to say yes or no, but that's not necessarily mandatory. Now, let's talk about the performance and scalability of Yunomi. So at my company, Jaya, we test Yunomi with on a weekly basis with a database of more than 5 million profiles. So that works very well on reasonably sized hardware, you know, like nothing very expensive. The server is designed to be scalable. Also, the backend, Elasticsearch, you can cluster it easily to approach to provide whatever needs in terms of scalability or performance. But despite that, we have two known bottlenecks: the ingestion speed and the rule processing, the rule engine inside of Yunomi. And so, basically, the solution for the moment is just to add more nodes. So if you're hitting one of these speed bumps, you can just add more nodes to solve the problem. Now let's look at use cases. So how could I use Yunomi concretely? So here we have a website tracking and personalization use case. So I just have a browser that's loading an HTML page from a CMS, and it gets back the HTML content as well as some JavaScript to connect to the context server. I use the context server interchangeably with Yunomi. It's the same thing. Then we ask Yunomi for the context, which contains the profile, and we get it back. And based on that information, which will contain information such as the last time this person has come or the segments he's part of, we can then decide to either display some content or send some more events. But you could also very well, with the same system, build mobile app tracking and personalization. So here, I put a CMS in the middle, but it's not even required. We have an example where basically the mobile app will have some kind of identifier for the user. Usually it's a mobile identifier generated by the phone, and a session ID, but that's not even required. Then you will get the context for the profile, and then you can send events, like sending an event for the app just becoming active, the screen chain event, and stuff like that. And of course, then if you plug in a CMS, you could say, okay, now give me a custom screen for this user, or a custom button, or whatever you want, and you can do things like that. And the way you do that is that you execute filters for the profile. You tell Yunomi, does this person match such and such condition? And you can build whatever you want. It's really easy to do. The event system is quite simple. So what does the architecture of Yunomi look like? So it's an Apache Caraf application. Apache Caraf is the application runtime. It can be clustered, of course. And so basically, it exposes a REST API, which is implemented using Apache CXF and some custom servlets. And inside of that, we have a lot of different services, such as shell commands, rule engine, a profile service, a segment service, a definition service, a query service, an event service, a personalization service, a goal service. And then the last three are very interesting. These are integrations. So basically, there are integrations with third-party systems such as Salesforce, Weather Service, or MailChimp. I'll get back to these a little bit later. And this, of course, is talking to an Elasticsearch cluster. Yes?
So the custom interactions could be easily integrated with the definition or rule engine?
Yes. Yes, I'll talk about this right now. Yes. So let's look at how it works inside. So basically, on the left side, you have the clients of Yunomi. So a web page or a mobile app that can send events in, and they get back a context. And on the right side, you have the third-party systems you're integrating with. So I put here a CRM. For example, you could also have big data systems. You could push data into big data systems. Or you can have also a data management platform, which specializes in exchanging information about people in an anonymous way. And inside of Yunomi, there's basically, I'll start from the right side because that's the easiest one to understand, the profiles. So it's just a collection of profiles. We have all the profiles that Yunomi knows about. The segments, which basically say how are we regrouping these profiles based on different conditions. And then the rules. And the rules basically make it possible in real time to react to events that are coming in. And you can, of course, build custom plugins that can implement rule conditions, rule actions, deploy rules, or do anything that an OSGI bundle may do, such as define new servlets, APIs, shell commands, or anything like that. So let's go into, I'll come back to the rules, but I just want to show you an example of how you would deploy this. So here I have a basic example of a CMS deployment where you have three nodes for the CMS, three nodes for Apache Yunomi, and three nodes for Elasticsearch. You could regroup, of course, these software nodes onto physical hardware. You could say, I want to put the Elasticsearch and the Yunomi nodes on the same hardware or separate them. But this architecture is actually one of the ones that we recommend. And this will scale pretty well. It will already address quite a lot of loads. So you see here, there's an Apache HTTP server that can be put in front to do load balancing or whatever else kind of caching that you want. But this is just an example of what it looks like from a DevOps perspective. So I want to give you quickly a view of what we have in an example profile here. So we have generic properties like the last name, the first name, the last visit, the first visit, preferred language, and stuff like that. Goals that the profile might have reached or is in the process of reaching. So a goal is basically we define a start point of a goal and the end point of a goal. And for example, the start point is he has seen the About Us page, and the end goal is he's downloaded a PDF or something. The segments he's part of, so here it says over 30, male, and technology. The scores that he has, so these are defined by basically if he views a lot, let's say you put some scores on pages, and you say, okay, this page will give you 10 points, and then basically you're accumulating scores. And last but not least, the consents. So the consents are here, and these consents have been entirely designed to be GDPR compliant. For example, most of the GDPR systems out there, but they call themselves like that, have no idea of a revocation date. And the law actually says that you cannot have a consent for more than 2 years. After 2 years, you have to ask again. And I'm pretty sure none of them out there are compliant with this. Let's talk about segments. So these basically are defined as conditions on profiles. So let's talk about, for example, a segment could be rich people over 30 years old. So this would be a condition that says a profile has an income over 200,000 and his age is over 30. So basically, it's two conditions with a Boolean between them. And another example is an active visitor interested in technology. So this would be expressed as a profile has read 10 pages with the tag technology and he has created 10 sessions in the last 10 days. So a very specific kind of request here. Now, the rule engine is a very important part of Yunomi. So basically, it's expressed like this. When the condition is true, then actions are executed. This happens in real time. This is not deferred in the background or to a big data system or whatever. This actually happens in real time. So, for example, when a page event occurs, then we increment the page profile page count. Another more complex example, which is one of the first ones. I mean, one of the cases you have very quickly when you start integrating Yunomi is the login. Basically, when a login event occurs and it comes from a third party, a trusted third party, then we will start doing some actions. And the first one would be to copy login information into the profile, then to merge profiles with pre-existing profiles, because if you have identifiers such as an email, you can look through the profile database and say, okay, are there different profiles that have the same email, which means it's probably the same one. This happens, for example, when you're browsing with a mobile app or mobile phone, and then you're switching to your computer. And finally, you can send the updated profile to an external system such as a CRM. So the conditions are organized as a tree. So here you have, again, the same example. So there are different condition types available out of the box. So you can have Booleans, property value conditions on events, sessions, and profiles. You can have conditions on the existence of previous events for a profile. So has the person seen pages in the last 10 days? And of course, it's extendable. So you can, this is Java code. You can just build more conditions if you want. You could have conditions that go talk to another server and say, you know, I'm currently getting an event. Can you tell me something about this? And you can use it directly.
How much of the filter capabilities in Elasticsearch can be employed in building a condition?
Pretty much everything. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So on the actions part, so this is basically what's executed when a rule condition is satisfied. So it's basically just a list. It's executed sequentially. And actions can, for example, update the current profile, push or pull data from a different system, and again, be extended. And again, it's just a jar, a bundle that you deploy in the system, and it can implement whatever you want. So this is an example of an action sequence. Retrieve data from a form event and copy it into profile, update profile segments, and then send the updated profile to a Salesforce account. So let's talk about the integration. So out of the box, inside the Unumbri project, this is actually there. We have the Salesforce CRM integration that allows to pull data from Salesforce or push it back. There's a Twitter sample where basically here it's just an example of catching events when you're sending data to Twitter and using that in your profile. The weather API, so basically this just connects to a weather service, and basically we use this to enrich the session of the user, saying, okay, his weather currently is this. And finally, MailChimp, where basically we update MailChimp lists based on the user's profile information. And it's also very easy to build your own. Just build a custom action and plug it into a rule. So I promise there won't be too much selling. my company has built a UI on top of Unomi. So it's really just a UI on top of the REST API. That's basically all it is. It uses AngularJS as a front-end framework, and it provides really tight integration with our main product, which is our CMS. And so here you have examples of reports on the left, and this is the profile, actually. So you can see you have a nice view of the profile. That's it. we are aware of others that are using Unomi. There's a company in China, which we know very little about, that's building an ad-serving service based on Unomi. So they're actually tracking the information with Unomi and serving ads. And honestly, I'd love to know more, but that's all I know. And we know that there's another big TV network that's evaluating Unomi to build personalization for their web platform. And of course, if you're interested or actually already using Unomi, we'd love to learn about it and know about it because it's really interesting. So please don't hesitate to get in touch with us. So, how did I do for time? Yeah. Now I'm going to go into a live demo, a live coding, actually. So what we're going to do is we're going to actually integrate Unomi into an existing website, a static website. We're going to use it for tracking. And we're going to just quickly look at what this gives us out of the box. We're going to see how this actually builds profiles. And if everything goes well, and I'm not short for time, we'll try to use the profile information to build a basic case of personalization. So the existing website. So here I just want to talk about this very quickly. We have a brand new website that's come up last week, I think. Big thanks to the person who's done that. And this is what we'll be using. So currently, this is not integrated with Yonomi, strangely. I still need to talk to Infra about that, but and so this is what we'll try to do. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to add some JavaScript to connect to Yonomi and send some events. Just quickly, just want to talk about that. We didn't build our own tracker from scratch. We used an open source tracker called analytics.js. And we just added a little plugin that will talk to Yonomi. Okay, so let's do that. Okay, so let me go into presentation mode here. So this is the here we go. Can you see that? Yeah. So currently, there's actually Google Analytics that's used on the Yonomi website. And I'm not too proud of that. So what we'll do is we're actually going to get rid of it. So we're just going to go here, and we're going to delete this. Yep, I'm happy about that. And I'm going to use some snippets here. And so this is just, like all these different tracking systems, you always have a little snippet that you have to copy into your website. So this is exactly the same thing. And I'm just going to put this here. So basically what I have here is I have a scope. So I just call it Yonomi website. So that's just a scope I'm defining for my tracking. And a URL. So the URL is the URL to Yonomi. Okay, so I have to know where I'm sending this data to. All right, so I have to do a few things before I go all the way there. So to show you I'm not cheating, I'm actually, here we go. I'm actually going to start Elasticsearch. So all of this will be running locally. There's nothing going to the cloud, or all this will be running on this machine right here. So this is why, that's good. And now we're going to start. Is that the right one? Yeah. We're going to start the Keras runtime. Let me just check that I've done all this right. So let's go back to the code here. I'm going to save it. And basically, I need to run this on a local server, because if I try to serve it directly from file, I have all kinds of issues with the web browsers that don't like that. So what I do is I just, this is a Maven project also. So I can just, sorry, this is not the right window. There we go. So here I just build the project and copy it to my server. And what I'm also going to do here, let me just get rid of this. There we go. So you can see here, Yonomi has started. And here inside of Yonomi, as we're using the Keras runtime, I can directly have a shell that I can type commands on. So, for example, I can directly here say that I want to. We have a command that's called event tail, and this will basically log into my shell whatever events I'm receiving from the tracker. So let's hope I didn't forget anything. I deployed it there. Okay, so One thing you're going to see me do a lot, let me get out here, is I'm going to be using private windows here because basically what I want to show is as these trackers are tracking users coming in, I want to make sure I'm always starting from scratch because if I'm coming back, it will behave differently. So here I'm just going to go to my website. Okay, here we go. So this is my Yonomi website, and let's check if, yeah, it worked. So you can see here we've received two events. I'm sorry it's a little bit small, so I'll just help you with it. But basically, the first event is a session created event. So automatically, it is noticed that it's a new session, so it's going to receive that. And there's a second view event that we've received. So we can also directly from this shell look into the details and say, I want to know what this event is about. So let's look at this view event here. I'm just going to use the identifier of the event. And here it dumps a JSON view of the profile. And you can see, for example, that, let me try to make this a little bit bigger. Yeah. You can see here that we have the URL of the page that we've loaded. And we have the page name and such and such. So we already have data coming in. Along with that, we also have, if I try to go to another page. Oh, no, sorry. this is a static website that only has, we have different HTML pages for each page, and I only put it on the first one, so that's why it's not. So here, if I go back, I have this. And you can see here that I don't have only an identifier for the event, but also for the session and the profile. So basically, I already have the profile. And so let's look at the profile here. So again, I can directly... Of course, you can do all this with the REST API also, but this is much much easier to understand what's going on in the system and do it. Oops, sorry, I'm not very good at aiming this. Here we go. So this is the profile that is built. And basically, you can see that there's some properties that have been automatically generated. We can see that we have two page view counts for the Yonomi website in there. So everything's working fine. Now that we have this, we also have commands to view the profile list. So this is the list of all the profiles. It's sorted by last modification date by default. So you can see here, we also have a column for the consents. So we see here we have a profile that has three consents that are defined. And it makes it really easy to go look into the profiles and do check that everything is okay or do analysis. There's the same thing for sessions. So here I can see all the different sessions that are that have been recently. These are sorted by last event. Each session tracks the last event it has received, and basically they're sorted by that. And if I go into, and you can see the scopes here, I have the Yonomi website, but I also have my CMS that was running earlier, so you can see the different scopes here. So I can easily track different systems. The scope could also be a mobile application name. So you want to, if you have your mobile app that's called a news app or something, you could use that scope for that. So if we look quickly into a session, sessions can have a lot of interesting information. So here, for example, we have integration with MaxMind IP resolution. So you can directly know an approximate location of where this request came from, a session, sorry, came from. And you even have also integration with user agent parsing. And so here, for example, it is divided into, it has inferred the device category as being a personal computer. So that so far has worked. So what we're going to do now is going to go one step further. And what we want to do is, if I go back to my page, is that we're going to try to personalize this banner here. So what I'm going to do here is a little bit of coding. So let's go into this banner here. Let me just find it. I think this is it. Yep. I'm just going to duplicate it. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to let me just check that I'm doing this right. Yeah. I'm going to give it some HTML IDs. And so here I'm going to give this one the var2. Var is short for variant, because in personalization you always build different variants of a specific object. And this first one here, I'm going to give it the ID var1. And now here I'm going to add some styles to these. And this one I'm going to give it, first I'm going to say I don't want it to be displayed by default. And I'm going to give it a background color gray. Oops. And the second one, this is more surprising, but I'm also going to tell it not to display. And the reason being is that we're going to let the personalization code actually decide which one needs to be displayed. So that's why they're both deactivated by default. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to add... Oh, sorry, I wanted to do a few more changes here. So what we have is one variant, that's basically the default one. And the other one, that's basically going to be something that's personalized to a user. So let's say we'll display a welcome back. And here, instead of the getting started, I'll point to the community page and say, join our community. So basically, I have a variant that's just a welcome, and the other one that's sort of more like an action to join the community. And now I need to add this code that's basically JavaScript code to actually do the personalization. So I'll copy it first and then I'll detail it. All right, so what this does is this actually will be sent to Yonomi, and there's here what we call personalizations, and we have different strategies in the personalization where you can say you want the first matching variant, or you want to rank them by how they match, or you want to do a random strategy where you just wanted to pick one. Then there's an option here for this strategy where we say whenever it doesn't match, you fall back to a default variant. So that'll be the second variant. And here the actual filtering, so basically what we say is that we want to match when the session, so you see the type there is the session duration condition. And we want to make sure that we only match when the session has lasted at least 5 seconds. So what it means is that if the session is less than 5 seconds, we'll display the default. And if it's longer, we'll display the other variant. Okay, let's save that. And let's deploy it to the web server. Okay, and now I'm going to start from scratch again here. Let me just copy that. Should have the URL here. Oh, yes, I almost forgot. I always like this. These shell commands, just for your information, they exist since last Friday. They've already been tremendously useful. Okay, let's just take this URL now. Okay, now you have to be very focused because I need to do this pretty fast since I put this value at 5 seconds. So, okay, so you see here, this is the default variant. And now if I reload, up after 5 seconds, it has changed successfully. And now it's going to stay put. And you can see that we've basically changed it to join our community, and it worked properly. If I do this again, if I close the window and open it again, and act as a new user, maybe I still have the... Yeah, here I'm not going to reload it, just so you can see that there is a difference. So that's the default view. Of course, in production, I'm not going to put it to 5 seconds, or maybe I'll do a more complex condition. I'll say if he's seen at least 3 pages or stuff like that. But here it was simple to set that up. Yeah, so it worked. I'm happy. Okay. Any questions about this part before I go back to slides? Do you have a question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the way this is done, this is what we call profile merging. And the way this is done is that as soon as we identify a way to merge these profiles, we will do it. So basically, by default, and you know me, we have what we call merge identifiers. And by default, I think it's configured on the email. So if whenever we see a profile being updated, suddenly having one of these merge identifiers that's populated, we will look for other profiles that have the same merge identifier and merge it that way. That's the way it's done. Now, I'm aware of people using more complex algorithms to do that. You could integrate whatever algorithm you need just by using more actions. You could just develop your own custom action that does that. I know some people try to do it on based on location and time. So meaning that if the person's location is determined and the time is the same, there's a good chance that it's the same person. But you know, that's always a risk. Yeah, so it's a REST API. We don't have, at least not yet, it's some of the things we've been talking about, SDKs for iOS or Android. But there is something that's coming up in the slides that will greatly help this problem. But yeah, so that's still let's say, but it's not that hard to do. It's really basic stuff. I mean, the HTTP requests for sending events are really simple. The ones for doing the personalization also. It's all JSON stuff. It's really not rocket science. I actually have a demo app for iOS that I built. It was done in an afternoon. So it's really not hard. That's a good question. We have things that we've integrated in our CMS, but basically this is based on the functionality of our CMS. We don't have anything out of the box in React, but again, but I need to be careful because we're rebuilding parts of our CMS in React now. So there's a good chance these components will happen very quickly. Yeah. Okay, back to my slides now. So everything has worked, so I'm very relieved. That's the dangerous part of live coding, is that it can fail in so many ways, and it hasn't. So what's next for Apache Nomi? So as I said, graduation is our focus now. We've been in a incubated project for a little bit over 2 years. It's been a wonderful time in terms of, you know, getting the word out there and stuff like that. It's been a, let me just say, the incubation project, incubated phase puts a lot of stringent requirements on releases. So we're not as fast on releasing that I'd like, and I'm hoping that going to TLP will greatly help that. We also want to improve the scalability. So we have a ticket open for a Kafka integration, mostly because of the ingestion issues that we've talked about. We need to implement the final version of the CXS specification, which I'll talk about here. And if not, last but not least, we'd like to provide some kind of web UI out of the box so that you're not just starting with the REST API, but you can actually show some UIs. So now on the CXS, well, I need to say CDP now, specification. Actually, what happened is that about a year ago, the standard was changed from a REST API to a GraphQL API. And so right now, when Yonomi was started, it was based on the standard that was in REST. And what we're currently doing is building a second API implementation with GraphQL. So the REST API one will stay, but the GraphQL one will be also there. GraphQL, so that's to your question. GraphQL is much easier to integrate with apps like that because you can use the Apollo libraries that are already available for mobile platforms such as iOS, Android, or whatever. So that will solve that problem. And also, you get out of the box great tools such as GraphQL or GraphQL Playground that make it really easy to learn the APIs or test them really quickly. So that's also something that will be that will be great for the project. The new user interface. So I don't want to make too strong a commitment now, but everything is aligned for this to happen, so it should happen. So my company is looking at ways to contribute the UI, parts of the UI to Yonomi. So this hopefully will happen soon. The biggest issue we have right now is that we want to then reuse that in our product. So we're just looking at how this will happen. But in terms of the will is there. The will is there to do that. Yeah, Yonomi is looking always for more people. It's a really fun project. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on. And we really want to encourage people to join us. So you can join us in any way you please. The mailing list, of course. We have a users mailing list now. We were a little bit late on opening it. The dev, of course. strangely, the most feedback we get is through Jira. So it's up there. And for those of you, I don't know, maybe somebody from Infra can tell me, but I think Slack is still reserved only for people that have an apache.org address. So, oh, you can invite? Okay. Okay, so yeah, because that's the only requirement. But of course, we also have a Slack channel that you're more than welcome to join. Of course, the resources, the website, yonomi.apache.org, the GitHub mirror. Don't hesitate to push to do pull requests. We'll look at them as quickly as we can. If you're interested in the technical committee, the context server technical committee, I have the link here. And last but not least, the specification. So this is the GraphQL specification. It's on GitHub, and so feel free to go have a look at it. We're hoping to release the final version of the spec by the end of the year. Now, do you have any questions?